There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk takeovers now. There are plenty of them around, and we're joined in the studio now by a lawyer whose job it is to make them happen and happen well. Naji Hawaik is a partner at Clyde & Co. Morning, Naji. Nice to see you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let's kick off with a recent deal. That's the reason you're here today, because Saudi Tabreed, one of the biggest air conditioning or district cooling companies in the region, has just been bought by an investment fund, the IDB Infrastructure Fund number 2. Tell us why this deal is significant. Why should we care?
Quite significant, but just a quick clarification. So there was a significant investment by IDB Infrastructure Fund into Saudi Tabreed. So it was not essentially a takeover, but an investment, which is commonly referred to as a private placement. Again, it shows a lot of interest into Saudi as the first and forefront. And I think lots of positive sentiment has been created by His Highness Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And of course, non-oil related energy projects seem to be in demand at the moment.
So let's talk about other deals that are happening in this region. You say education is a hot sector at the moment, and we're calling it takeovers, but as you say, there's various types of deals. There's a takeover, there's a merger, an acquisition, there's a stock market listing, private placement, as you mentioned. Any of these kind of mega bucks deal where someone buys a company or buys a big stake in a company kind of falls under this bracket. And reading yesterday, hearing on Drive Live, that GEMS, the education provider here, is looking at an IPO in London, potentially also looking at a private placement. Why is education a hot sector at the moment?
It's the high demand. I mean, we are lucky enough, given our size and breadth in the region, to have exposure to a high volume of transactions in the sectors that you have referred to, including education. GEMS, for example, obviously one of the heavyweights when it comes to K-12. You look at the economics, you foresee double-digit growth in sectors like education as well as healthcare. An IPO, I think, I was looking at some literature where it refers to the recent NMC IPO and how they're trying to peg the two together.
NMC, the healthcare company.
The healthcare companies, because that's, again, is a UAE originating business, headquartered here, but then listed on the LSE in London. So it sounds like GEMS are very much keen to do the same.
Interpret the M&A activity in the education sector for me, because populations in the UAE not growing particularly well. There's something of a slowdown in the economy at the moment. We know that there are spaces available at schools for September. Normally they'd be snapped up by now. That one or two of the schools are actually struggling a little bit as well. Does this M&A activity, in your view, reflect a very bright future and lots of demand, or a slowing market that people need cash to survive?
Our clients are still telling us that education is a robust sector to invest in. You look at the private equity outfits in this country or in this region, and most of them have a key focus area into education. And don't forget, education could be at different levels. So we have, as a firm, we've been very busy recently in the nursery segment as well as K-12, but there's also higher education and there's also vocational training, where we hear a lot of positive talk in the market. Now, of course, not to say that there isn't some sort of concern and the economics and the population levels, etc., going forward. But I think from our perspective, at least from a legal view, what we see is still a robust 2 or 3 years to come.
We also had a deal, it's not been confirmed, but reported in the media, that Abrage, the big buyout fund, looking to sell its stake in Middlesex University. So higher education as well, not just K through 12, which is school, basically education that GEMS focuses on, but higher education as well. How much activity are you seeing there?
Some activity, I would say not as much as K-12 or nursery segment at the moment. What we're seeing is some of these sale and lease back type transactions when it comes to education institutions, which is essentially buying the real estate and then leasing it back to the school
this
operator.
This is the kind of deals that Equitativa or Emirates REIT are doing, the big real estate investment trusts.
Some of those, and we did one recently for Kent College, for example, where Almal Capital acquired the property, the actual building, and then would lease it back to the school. So yes, no, for sure, there is still some activity there.
Let's look at the situation with Abraj. Bloomberg had a headline a while ago that said some of the stories circulating around Abraj, the $15 billion buyout fund, could be put a dent in deal-making across the region just because it's such a big organisation. It creates a little bit of uncertainty and that people may be nervous about doing deals here. Do you think there's any... How much credence would you give to that report?
It's quite unfortunate what we're hearing. I think my knowledge goes as far as what we read and hear in the news, to be honest. I do not have any other information or insight, but quite unfortunate because I think the segment private equity is still robust enough to endure or to some sort of, you know, confine or contain this situation and the stories around it. Personally, I'm not very worried, but of course the Abraj story has been publicized quite a bit and people are looking at it carefully to understand the implications.
The Bloomberg headline was that this story rattles Middle East deal making. Do you see Middle East deal making being rattled?
Not at all. I mean, with all due respect to Bloomberg, but we certainly do not see it that way.
Let me ask you about retail. That seems to be one of the sectors that is most challenged at the moment. We've seen quite a lot of people being let go in that sector as well. I know you're not going to give away too much, but are you talking to companies within that sector about M&A activity?
We are indeed. We are continuously, even in terms of the impact of things like e-commerce on retail, which has taken it to another level altogether. Our clients in retail, especially the large ones, are telling us they're looking at the digital world nowadays. They're looking at online shopping, the change of the client mindset from going into a furniture shop in the mall to touch a sofa and try it before they buy it, into the millennials who will simply buy it online because it's more convenient to them. So certainly there's a drive in that direction, and I think again M&A activity will follow that, possibly not just the retail segment directly but services around the retail, which could be an e-commerce platform, for example.
What do you get the flavour that the M&A activity will look at? Will it be sort of people fundraising for greater expansion, or will it be people looking to get out of the market and sell what they've got?
I would say possibly both. Recently we advised on the Namshi deal, which is where Emaar Malls was involved, and that was a very good example of the activity in that segment. There's a lot of talk around Noon at the moment and the investment into that. So again, the way I'm looking at retail is somewhat with the technology spin at the moment.
One vaguely related deal that we talked about a couple of weeks ago was GFH in Bahrain paying at least $100 million for a majority stake of The Entertainer, which is the app-based two-for-one coupon or deal company. What kind of valuations are we seeing for these tech deals at the moment? The Entertainer is quite a mature business. It's been around for 15 years or more. Some of those, like Namshi, perhaps slightly younger organizations. How are people valuing these companies?
That's a good question. I think obviously a Dubai success story, The Entertainer, and I was very happy to hear about it. We were not involved in that deal as a firm. More generally, if I can talk about valuations, although again, typically our financial advisors would look into that. We see a lot of multiples of EBITDA being applied.
EBITDA is earnings before interest, tax and amortization.
Correct.
Why that particular measure of profitability rather than net profit, for example? Why strip out the tax and amortization?
Well, we'd have to defer to the specialists when it comes to financial...
Yeah, maybe it's too early in the morning for that one.
but we're lucky to get involved as lawyers in some of the discussions around valuations. Not to say that it's the only methodology applied, but seems to be the one that is used most commonly.
And what kind of multiples are you seeing? Is there a kind of broad range that we're seeing? Is there a pattern? Can we get some kind of, if not average, then ballpark?
Well, it's funny you ask. Just the other day, I had a call from someone in the Big Four saying, yeah, we've just announced a deal in this particular sector, whatever it was. Can you tell me what the multiple was? And because they were acting on a similar deal in the same sector and trying to benchmark it, obviously. We are subject to very strict confidentiality obligations, but of course, depending on the sector, we've seen multiples of 6 or 7 and sometimes up to 11 or 12. So
that's
quite a big range.
Annual revenue as a multiple of annual profit, rather.
Of EBITDA.
Of EBITDA, okay, up to between 6 and 11. That's an interesting benchmark. We're also seeing, maybe it's below the level of the Clyde and Coes of this world, some smaller deals. For example, yesterday we had two firms in. One of them was Innovative HR Solutions, sort of boutique HR consultancy based here in Dubai. It's just been taken over by PSI International. Now, we don't know how much that deal was. Probably wasn't huge. But those kind of smaller deals probably don't justify the Clyde and Coes and Linklaters of this world. But we are seeing those smaller takeover deals, aren't we? Are we seeing an increase in those?
Very interesting. Yes, indeed. And I think when you look at consulting, for example, there's quite a bit of that level or that size of deals happening in consultancies. What is key is to ensure that you lock in the partners that you are buying into the business. Yes, I would say there is some activity. In the last 12 months, we must have done two or three transactions. So, as you say, sometimes not as large as the Namshis and the Saudi Tabreeds, etc., but still some activity there, yeah.
Do you get many foreign companies, big foreign companies, knocking on the door who maybe don't have a presence in the Middle East yet, saying, look, can you find us a way into the market here? It used to happen a lot. People coming in and buying their sort of up their local counterpart just to get a foothold in the market. Is that still happening?
All the time. And there's either joint venture structures where they find a local GCC partner, a strong partner who has the know-how to partner with, or a pure M&A or an acquisition of an existing business. What is maybe worth mentioning here quickly is the DIFC. And as a dispute resolution forum such as DIFC courts or even DIFC LCIA arbitration, that has boosted a lot of international confidence into the market because they look at it as a forum that they're familiar with and accustomed to. So yes, certainly, and we feel that it's only increasing at the moment.
Arbitration certainly boosted our producer, Georgia Tully. Her husband's an arbitration lawyer, so all power to their elbow. Naji, we'll have to leave it there. Appreciate your time this morning. Fascinating discussion. Naji Hawaiak is a partner at Clyde & Co. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.